All right, guys, episode 28. We had another candidate running for Area 2 on, Mr. Aaron Hoover. Interesting guy, man, a community member who's willing to step up and take the seat. And we had a really interesting conversation. And, man, I really enjoy talking to these people in our community, you know. These people, they come in and they have these ideas and these perspectives. And it's legit stuff, man. And all these people we have on, bro, it's still good for us to be connected with these people, because we can still bring forth his goal and his vision for the district. I mean, that, you know, so I don't know, I kind of love that about it.
Yeah, they always come on. They're like normal people. They're genuine. They have good ideas. You know, they don't have to be some, like, you know, 30-year teacher. They come from all walks of life, but they have experience. And, like, you know, he used to be, like, a football coach and everything. So he just wants the best for the kids. We all do. Like, you can't deny that. We just want the kids to go back to basics, get the math, you know, be able to have some skills when they graduate where they can succeed outside of school without, like I said, talking about all this transgender flag. All this stuff is just a big distraction. And, you know, the kids are the ones that are really suffering, especially the ones that just want to go to school and actually not even participate in all that,
yeah,
you know, stuff.
They just want to learn.
Right.
They want to, should be setting them up for success in the real world, not the political advocacy space.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah. So. But anyways, guys, enjoy.
Enjoy.
You ever wonder what is the truth?
There go those two guys again. Why do they care so much about the truth? I honestly think their questions for the truth are problematic. Don't we all?
All right, guys, here we are. Point Blank Truth. This is episode 28. Episode 28. And we are sitting here with Mr. Aaron Hoover. Aaron Hoover is running for trustee Area 2 school board position, Danny's prior position. Mr. Hoover, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on your podcast, and I'm doing great.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. We've been sitting here talking a little bit because we've been having some technical difficulties, so I'm happy we got it to work. But, I'm really interested to kind of hear from you a little bit more about what you see as a possible school board trustee member as important to you and what you would bring to the table for our community.
Yeah, so first off, I just wanted to share. I firmly believe that every child has a right to receive a public education, a quality public education, and I'm a big believer in learning opportunities for kids. I shared this just briefly in my interview that I bombed.
You think you bombed it?
Oh my gosh, it was.
You weren't happy.
I feel like I was testifying towards, you know, in front of Congress, and I didn't have the notes, and it was a bad dream. And yeah, it was.
Oh really?
I was sweating under. Yeah, it was rough. And my wife saw it, and she gave me her disapproval. Yeah. She gave me so. But no, guys, I believe in learning opportunities for children and expanding that. And what I mean by that is, I'm a big fan of the CTE courses and curriculum, and giving these kids kind of like a career curriculum type thing. And I want to expand that. That's one of the things I'm really passionate about. I think that the we're in a very volatile time in our nation's history in terms of economics, and I feel that children need to be prepared. They need to be prepared earlier, before college. There's a part of me that loves, you know, I love the public education experience. I had a great public education experience. I actually attended private and public, so I got the best of both. But I had a great public education experience, and But one of the things I wish we had was, you know, were more programs and more opportunities where we could learn skills, blue collar skills, even, you know, now, you know, some white collar skills. So many kids are so ill prepared when they leave high school, mm-hmm. how to do taxes and how to save money and a lot of these just kind of basic financial, you know, financial curriculum. But I feel I'm a big believer right now, more so than ever, that we really need to promote and fund and get these kids ready, prepared, blue collar, white collar. So that's really the premise of my platform, is to excite parents that their children are getting this awesome curriculum, that they're going to have some skills and some education outside of the general, you know, English, you know, history, mm-hmm. math, and things like
yeah.
that. So,
yeah, that's really interesting. I think that's something that, you know, we always talk about as a society, how the education system, it seems it's the same system that existed in, like, you know, the 1800s, you know, the
yeah.
school structure, students sit in the chair and it's a classroom setting. You're all looking at me. You sit there, you be quiet. We go over math, English, and like, you know, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the math curriculum because of the work that I'm in, but you know how many people are, you know, doing advanced calculus yeah. and stuff like that,
and using yeah. advanced calculus,
yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, so it's like that stuff is great because it tests your knowledge and your skill level of math,
yeah.
But I do wish that there were things that we taught our children that were more relatable to everyday, like you said, taxes. Like, even now, most people don't know how to do our own taxes,
right.
We all have to have a tax person, or you use TurboTax or whatever, but even then,
yeah,
how stressed are you when you're, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Like, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
Oh, how can I, you know, it's the public school system should be the place that educates us on that, and it's not. So that's interesting.
I absolutely agree, and I think now is the time. I mean, we're, like I said, we're, you know, there, and I think the CTE program is growing actually in a lot of ways, and a lot of school districts around the country. I've seen some of the body of work, and it's awesome. I mean, some of these kids are graduating with like a basic accounting certificate type mm-hmm. thing. But, you know, they're not going to be CPAs. You know, they still have to go to school and all that. But they have this very they have a good understanding of what a CPA does and how, you know, how to, you know.
Well, that was at one of those high schools. Is like a, remember we were watching that video. What's the name of that school that does all the hands-on stuff? It's right there, Rancho Vista. It's like a Rancho Vista, like alternative school, like extended school.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I remember.
And they're showing yeah. the video, and like almost everyone there was like working on like wood shop, oh, yeah. and plumbing. And then, like yeah, they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were talking about. Yeah, they were talking about like how that they were using 3D printers and
yes.
creating like incredible things.
Right.
Yeah, I do.
And I remember
that.
Thinking, I'm like,
yeah.
that should be in the main public school, not yeah. the alternative
yeah.
school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
it's like.
Well, data shows right now that less kids are applying to four-year schools, and it's actually, and they're projecting that's going to continue to go down,
mm-hmm.
cost, you know, the costs and everything else affiliated with that, but junior college or community college applications are soaring, so that says that kids can't afford to go to four-year schools,
mm-hmm.
or they go to the career, they enter the work field. So I'm thinking, well, now's the time to like really push this career curriculum, and give these kids, you know, learning opportunities. And you know, like you said, plumbing, electrical. I mean, there's guys who make start off doing. I talked to this guy who's a welder, and he had to go through a, you know, certification process and training and internship and all that to make the money he's making. And he's like, man, if I was coming out of high school right now, I wish they had some kind of program that I could learn hands-on quickly.
Right.
You know, and because, like, I think now, I mean, back then there was, you know, the processes of everything was a little bit long. And I think nowadays, I think they can expedite some of that, some of those processes in terms of getting the kids, you know, experience and, you know, shadowing or externship. I don't know. I'm just a big believer in expanding a career curriculum. And I was spitballing here, talking to my wife about, you know, hypothetically, if I was elected, I would want to host a career curriculum week, or maybe 3-day event. Mm-hmm. And I actually have already spoken to several people who are in white collar positions and blue collar positions, entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, financial guys, owner of a large CPA. They'd be elated to come out and talk to these kids and their parents. Because I'm thinking, if the kids are going to come out, I want the parents to come out. I want the parents to see the kind of education their kids are getting. And I guarantee you, if you want to win the hearts of Temecula, you want to just put a blanket over all the nonsense and all the what ifs and are we doing enough, and is Temecula embracing the school board and the education? Get the parents on board and get them to see their kids are excited about learning about career. If right now I have a 4-year-old son, when he goes to high school, and if we went to a not a career day, but an actual, like, and I haven't worked out in my head. I won't bore your podcast with that, but with all the details. But if I went to a thing and my son picked medical doctor, maybe he's good with his hands. He wants to be, maybe he's smart, but he's also good with his hands. Maybe he wants to be a plumber.
Right.
He can go to this workshop, learn from an actual medical doctor. He can go to the other workshop with me or his mom or whoever, and we can sit, and maybe it's a 3-day event, so it actually sticks. You know, there's a little bit of meat in there versus like have some guy talk about his job and then he leaves and, you know, you forget it. Right?
Yeah, right.
I'm talking, and maybe even then we get some kind of certification program set up where these kids, maybe it's recognized by the state of California, or maybe it's recognized by the city of Temecula. Mm-hmm. So when these kids, you know, if these kids graduate and they want to go into the plumbing, enter the plumbing or electrical or welding or whatever, they can partner with local companies. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that an owner of a plumbing company or a roofing company
or a flooring company
wouldn't appreciate having a young kid shadow and then learn and help? You know, there's just got to be more than you graduate high school and you either choose fast food or four-year school.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And I think you can definitely work and go to community college at the same time. I think those are definitely doable things. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I think that the traditional trades are, they need people, you know, you know, and also I do think that there's something there. There's some value there. Especially if you do it at the high school level. You talk to high school kids and you say, what do you want to do? What do you want to go to school for?
Yeah.
They'll say, I don't know.
Right.
When I was in school and it was early on, you know, I had to take regular, like, elective, like art, communication, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I knew what I was doing. And I would talk to these young kids and, you know, I don't know. I'm just here. Just trying it out. I figure I'd just get my general associate's degree and then figure it out. It's like, well, if we put more resources in front of these kids earlier on, like you show a 10th grader, hey, you think a plumber is dealing with plunging toilets all day.
Right.
This is actually what they do, and let a plumber come in and you have like an infrastructure already set up where he shows you. Maybe you can show the kid, hey, this is how we put the pipes together. This is what we do. This is how, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot more to these trades that would make these kids be excited and maybe latch on to something early on.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to talk about leveling the playing field, equality, all that stuff, what's more equality than getting all these kids excited about vocational or opportunity, you know, opportunities that they may go to 4-year school and they may enter a white collar job, but they got that interest or whatever through our program. Or if a kid knows he's not going to go to a 4-year school and he wants to enter the trades, you know, he can do that as well. So everyone is satisfied. Everyone gets some kind of real training. And again, I can't stress this enough. I don't want I don't want people to think that, oh, Aaron wants to and promote a career day, you know, or Johnny's dad comes in and talks about, you know, yeah, you know being a fireman or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about actual curriculum, career curriculum. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, how we can decentralize education and make this about Temecula and about the Temecula students and about the parents, involving the parents. I think this is one of the best ways. This cuts through all the nonsense, I think, through and all the infighting and some of the stuff. I think this says we care about your kid, we love your kid, and you know, but we don't love them as much as you do, but we love them enough to give them the opportunity, the skills and things to help, you know, potentially enter a career field.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks volumes. And if I know, like I said, if I knew that my son could do that, I'm really impressed, and I'm really excited about my, you know.
You know, yeah, all the stuff you're saying too, like really, man, it would just be so easy to fix our schools, kind of like if the establishment, like if we had a government establishment that truly cared about
kids.
That truly cared, like the solutions to everything are like right there in the open. But no, they want to fight about flags and letting men in the women's bathroom and DEI and CRT.
And
all divisiveness. That's all they care about. And like,
and it's so funny because they would look at you and say, no, that's you guys that are doing that. But how did we get to the point where we have to pass policy to say, hey, we need to treat everyone equal, nobody's special here, we can't be talking about these things and these topics, and we it should be kept out of the classroom, you know? And it's like they, it's almost like the establishment would prefer, I was talking to a teacher about this, is because we were talking about like the book situation and how they're saying it's a book ban, and it's like, well it's not. What it seems like the establishment wants is a opt in or opt out. An opt out thing requires, you know, that's a silly concept, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it should be an opt-in thing, and we were never even given that opportunity, and that's where we're at now, where they're like, well, you should just opt out of it. Like, how did he even get here?
Yeah. What are we talking about? Well, that's what one guy was saying. Is like, yeah, the parents have the option to read Angels in America and read all the plays that are available, and then if they don't like it, I'm like, so you tell me you want these parents to work, you know, 60 hours a week to make ends meet and then come home and you expect them to read all the books at Mr. Bailey, the drama teacher.
Right.
And then I asked the guy, why didn't Mr. Bailey read the whole play and get to page 60 and go, hey, this is like pretty graphic. I don't know if I should. Why did he do it? He's the teacher. He's the one handing out the play.
Yeah.
It's his job to read the curriculum. And then their argument falls apart. Guys, like, well, you can't expect him to read all of it. Oh, so you want the parent to read all through the curriculum? And we all know what they do with these books and TV shows and stuff.
Sure.
It's never in the messages they want to get across. It's never in the beginning of the book or beginning of the show, the kid show.
Yeah.
Or like Roblox and stuff. You got to be like 45 minutes in, and all of a sudden the chat room opens and some dude, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
oh, yeah.
Or the play turns extremely graphic, like 80 pages in.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that it's just interesting, you know, in the context of what you're saying is how there has been, I believe there has been this focus to take care of things that people do find important. People are concerned about these things. And I mean, I, for me, one of the things that I'm worried about is like, hey man, like how long are we gonna go through this? Like all of this nonsense about no parental rights, no flag policy, the CRT resolution. Are we gonna go another 2 years where now we're rescinding this stuff and still trying to recall board members instead of doing things that you're talking about or bringing something to the table?
We're playing defense.
Yeah.
We're playing defense. Well, I'm thinking we gotta play some offense.
Yeah.
And I want to have my platform be offensive, and I want to just, you know what, these people want over here, they want to be bitter, they want to focus on these other, you know, social issues or whatever, you know, let them do that. I'm focusing on the majority of Temecula students and parents who want to get back to basics. COVID happened, it happened, okay, whatever, you know, it sucker punched us, and it created this storm of social justice stuff and, you know, economic volatility and all these things, right? All these things. putting pressure on parents, guardians, teachers, and administrators. Everyone is stressed. Everyone's had enough. There's a reason why we have, you know, record high mental health with students. But now we also have anxiety and record high stress levels with adults as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just everyone talks about the children are being affected. No, it's the adults as well. Like you were just saying, you think someone who comes home working 40 hours a week, I mean, what if he has five kids, four kids? You think he wants to babysit five kids' books or content or reading materials that are being sent to him? He just wants to have trust that that these people are doing the right thing, and they're unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on in the country, not just in California, but all over the country, and that's what's put everyone, all these parents on high alert, you know, with public education. I agree. I think we have to do better.
Yeah. You said an important word, I think, is trust. And I think that the issue that we're having, not just in Temecula, but in our nation, our entire culture is, I think most teachers are good.
Right? Yeah, I agree.
Most teachers really 100%. Do love their job. They love teaching. They're the subject matter experts with the children.
Yeah.
But the parents are losing the trust because of the 10% of teachers that we're seeing all over all these schools in California, all through the nation.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, trust has to be earned and developed, and it has to be fostered, especially, you know, like the parent teacher dynamic. Things are just, like you said, everything's volatile. So I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you think about what are some ways that you think we can rebuild that trust between parents and teachers. Like one thing that I did, I brought the watchdog program back to Temecula Middle School, and I'm working on bringing it to Crown Hill Elementary School, and I'm just trying to get the dads. Let's get involved. Let's be a positive influence in the hallways, in the classroom. But the cool thing that I experienced when I did my watchdog at TMS was just seeing like what the gym teachers are going through, what the PE teachers go through, and how they have all these kids on the blacktop and they have to separate them. And like there's a structure, and it's not easy, and there's a lot going on. And it's like, if we can bring parents into that environment so we can get the real picture of what's going on, not just you're scrolling through social media and you see in Florida there was a pedophile teacher, and then you start stressing.
Right.
Let's be allowed to come into these educational spaces and see for ourselves and go, oh, I kind of like this. I like what's going on. I feel like it's just a way to build relationships between parents and teachers. I don't know. What's your take on that?
That's 100%, Danny. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I do feel like we need to have more parent involvement. And I think that has to be stressed. That's one of the things also on my platform is I wrote down three things when I initially interviewed, and one of them, actually the first one actually was restore trust with the community. I'm reading about all these other districts locally here in Southern California about, you know, these parents are these people are at war with each other at these school board meetings. It's insane. And I'm not a politician, and maybe someone else, maybe one of these other candidates is aspiring to be a politician. And I'm not, I don't want to come with that politician angle. I understand it's highly political now, you know, because some made it highly political.
For sure.
But it's about education. It's about public education. And I think if I took a poll right now with people in the community, parents in the community, I can guarantee you it's going to be overwhelmingly in support of, I just want my kid to get a quality education in a safe learning environment. And I don't want to have to babysit my kid's curriculum and what he's learning from teachers.
Right.
And I think that's the way to be, is I think what you said earlier about parent involvement, we have to be proactive, and we have to find ways. I mean, right now, I can't think of any programs or anything right now, but it's on the top of my head, man. I'm always thinking about how we can involve how we can involve people in the community. I really feel you can address not only the mental health issue with and this is more directed toward maybe high school students. I think you can address two things here with having more programs. I think you can address mental health, and I think you can address the trust issue, because I've talked to high school kids too, and you talk to them, and there's a sense of hopelessness. Some are like, hey, you know what? I already got into Cal Berkeley, or hey, I already got into UCLA.
Yeah.
I'm set. Okay, yeah. Great for you. That's congratulations. Great for them. That's awesome. I'm so pumped for you. Actually, no, go Trojans. But for the rest of the kids, you know, like they need, you know, they don't have those options. But anyways, I was thinking about, you know, one of these, you know, ideas is start a student-led podcast for the district, and have the students, you know, do it and have them interview, you know, people in the students and interview whatever their content is. They can,
yeah.
You know, highlight certain things. I think creating proactive movement towards programs, it gets kids involved. I think when kids are involved, they're not stressed as much.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're not thinking about being on their phone or maybe being at home in their room. Getting kids involved. I mean, sports is great at that. Sports is great at tackling that. But I think getting kids involved, it also lets parents know, like, hey, we're gonna have your kid, you know, start a student-led podcast or a student-led sports broadcasting program, which is another thing I want to start. I've seen it at some other districts. Mm. Really cool.
Yeah.
Where these kids are filming basketball games. There's a kid who does like the commentating. And they do the editing, and they do all that. It's just awesome. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways, I think.
And it's also relevant to the times for them. You know. It's
yeah.
Like, you know, it's they're like, it almost, it would be using the educational space, right, the public school space, to almost teach them how to be content creators, which is another form that a lot of people make money off of.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids are really into and interested in.
Yeah.
You know? So why not? I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think we have to have trust in the student, you know, the trust the students are going to do, are going to, you know, want to participate in these programs. But I think the programs, I'm just a big believer. I'm old school. I remember when I was younger, you know, I grew up with a family of seven kids. I'm the third oldest of seven. And my dad grew up with nothing in Utah and moved to California. And when I was growing up, he would just, like, if we were bored, he would put us to work. You know, if we were self-loathing or if we were, you know, maybe depressed or whatever, he would find us something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that is such a simple concept, but it is so true. I mean, like, I coached football in high school for years. I coached at a Centennial High School in Corona, big powerhouse public school, and can't tell you how many times I talked to kids who were lackadaisical or, you know, lazy or this and that. I mean, their body language was poor, and we would address it by saying, go do this. You know, go run a lap or whatever, or, you know, you talk to, pull them aside. Hey, I want to see your body language better. You know, like right now you look like you're tired, you look like you're bored, you're not interested. Come on. So anyways, getting kids engaged, and you see them just turn. Like kids are impressionable. You know, kids want to know and trust that the adults are going to do the right thing for them. And I just think I'm just a big believer, man. I think that we all for broke in terms of the offense for running for on school board and being on the offensive side and promoting good ideas for this district. I just think we gotta have a renaissance of really good ideas to get these kids proactive, get them career, get them college ready. I don't know. I'm just a big believer in those simple principles that when kids are engaged in things, they don't get into trouble. Yeah, they don't have nearly as much anxiety and stress. They feel a sense of accomplishment. all those things are basic things that children need. I don't think a lot of them, I don't think a lot of children get those things from just regular education.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head too. Like, they're so impressionable. So they're going to get, so you have like you who's a man or a football coach. That's why they need men in the world, fathers and stuff. They hold their kids accountable. You're going to go run the laps. You're going to finish. Yep. Or you're going to have the teacher go, oh, you're lazy, you're tired today, you need a safe space, okay, go take a nap. Right. And then they give it, and then these kids become apathetic. Then they don't have any confidence. I just feel the sense of just apathy in the whole world.
It's
everybody
off the
like
charts.
Just doesn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because at their core, I mean, I don't know how it is in high school now, but they have to have a sense of the price of things and the price of homes. They must see the stress on their parents' face. And there's no more, from COVID, there's no more customer service jobs.
Yeah.
All the malls, the fast foods, those are getting taken on by robots.
Yeah.
So that's funny, like the South Park episode. You know, remember like the Haiti man came up. Yeah. He's like, I'm so busy, I'm rich. He's like a plumber. He's like gold chains. Like, I got time for nothing. Like all the handymen were like, the rich ones.
In South Park.
In South Park.
Park. These tech companies, you know, I mean, you can make an argument that, I mean, they're not, I haven't read anything in any journal or anything, but you can make the argument is that they've been generating AI for years because they don't have any trust that humans are going to be good at, you know, be good at certain things. Or, you know, they're seeing the decline in human evolution, right? I mean, so, like, why would someone create robots to replace humans? Why would they do that? You know, so these guys, you know, not to get off topic, but those guys are, they invest billions of dollars into research and forecasts and people to analyze data and project. Yeah. So
I think it was Elon Musk that said, we made a mistake by using advanced technology to replace the workforce. Mm-hmm. We should have focused on using AI technology to do things that humans can't do. That's what the focus should have been.
That makes sense.
Right. And that's, I mean, eventually it will move to that, but it just sucks that first, you know, they're going to replace, you know, everyday normal jobs, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's just all a bit crazy, but I just feel we need to get back to the human element of things and you know, we're unique people. We're unique beings. You know, I mean, I'm a religious person. My wife and I are both Christian. You know, we believe that, that we're made in the image of God. We are unique. And, that should be celebrated, you know, and the fact that we are unique and, you know, we have unique gifts and skills, and those things need to be shown. And those things need to be highlighted. It's very similar in terms of like your spiritual journey, your pathway, and all that, and also like learning, education, because you're questioning things, you're contemplating things, and you're going back and forth. You're constantly going back and forth, and you're constantly learning. You're supposed to. I tell people this, and I've had arguments with people who disagree with me, maybe politically, whatever. But you know, I was asking me, have you ever changed your mind? You know, and they'll say, oh, no, or yeah, maybe yes, you know, but it's like, that's a good thing. It means you're intelligent.
Yeah.
You're growing. You're evolving.
You're supposed to change it. You're supposed to question things. You're supposed to change your mind. I've changed my mind millions of times. If you want to talk politics, I've voted across the board in terms of, different candidates and things like that over the years. I'm 44 now, but over the course of my life, I've voted across the board because at the time I felt this way. And then I felt this way at a later date.
Right.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves when I see videos like, look at how Biden felt in 1993. And it's like, yeah, dude. That was 19. You know what I mean?
You've never changed
your mind. Like
you
know what I mean? Whenever I see that like, and both sides do it. They'll say, sure. They'll show that Trump video where he was like, oh, I'd run as a Democrat, or, you know, you remember that old video he did where they asked him how he'd run?
Democrat.
He's like, but it's like, dude, come on, man. Like, no, duh.
Yeah.
It's different now.
Yeah.
It was 20 years ago. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
But anyways, I cut you off.
Well, no, you're fine. I was just thinking, like, there's a correlation between, like, your spiritual journey and just, whether people like it or not, I firmly believe this, and your educational journey. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, whether you're religious or not, those two things, they, you know, it's very similar. And, you know, I just think, providing a challenging education where there's opportunity and hope in today's world has to be our focus. And of course, you know, we have to fight the fights, you know, that require that. And, you know, but I think that, you know, just talking with parents and you know, students in the community, talked to a lot more parents than I have students, but I've talked to enough students that I they all kind of had a similar tone to how they feel about the future. And it's not my job to make them feel happy, but it's my job to, if you know, my job as a school board member is to make sure to provide them opportunities to learn and grow.
Yeah.
And and to partner with parents. And so that's,
you know, and you're right with the spirit. Well, I think with the spiritual stuff and the educational thing, it's like spirituality requires you to think kind of outside the box.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to think, not what to think.
Right.
Right. So it's like, that's why they always say conspiracy theories kind of lead to spirituality, because you ask this and you ask that and you ask, you dig deeper, and you don't believe everything, but you know, you make the connections and your brain works like that. But
yeah,
if you're just constantly told think this, then you're just they just like repeat.
Right.
That's why everybody we come across, you give them one question back on their ideology, their so-called ideology, they crumble.
Right.
Because they've just been told to say that one line,
yeah,
but they have never put any more thought into it, because that actually requires energy and thought process, not just virtue signaling.
Foolish man built his house upon the sand.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm still shocked with the education, like, that no one's brought up. I'm still like, with the failing test scores in Temecula, like the percentage of kids that can't read,
yeah,
and the fact that COVID took kids out for a couple years, they obviously fell back.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe everybody was just kind of like, well, third grade, you went to Zoom for fourth, fifth, and then like, you know, and now you're in sixth grade, and then they're in sixth grade, but they don't know the multiplication table, but they just keep pushing them through, and then it's like, their solution is just get rid of the D's.
Yeah.
You know, make the C a 60%.
Yeah, it does seem like,
what the hell?
The state is shifting. They're shifting the standard.
Yeah.
They're instead of having a high standard and having a high expectation for our students, we're lowering the standard to meet their apathy.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be backwards.
Right, right.
If you know, it's it's like it's called the law of decay.
Uh-huh.
Is that what it's called? The law of decay, where everything, like a vase breaks.
Yeah.
You can't put it back together once it breaks. Everything actually goes, what's it called? Everything moves towards chaos, right? Like when you clean your house, the natural order is for chaos to ensue. That's how it goes. So if we're not constantly upkeeping with our expectation, and then we just lower the standard, we're actually, it's like never cleaning your house.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? It's we need to effectively address these things, in my opinion. And at the school board meeting, I made a public comment about our thing with email, and a lot of the stuff on the agenda was kind of curriculum based, which was interesting. So we'll see how things shift in that light. But in regards to what you said about the spiritual thing, because I find it really unfortunate, right? Because I think with how volatile everything is and the narrative about Christian nationalists, a lot of Christians I noticed are very hesitant now to kind of, you know, like, you're not being preachy, man.
No.
You're just being...
I'm not a preacher,
man. Yeah, yeah. But you're being you, and you have a faith, and your faith drives you in probably most things you do. So you have every right to, you know, like, have an opinion on that. And what's crazy is, it's like, what I tell people is, haven't you ever heard someone say, go with the flow?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, just trust the process. Oh, the energy's right. It's like, that's the same thing Christians are talking about. They're just talking about it in the way they, in their perspective, which is like a spiritual one and a godly one. And it's we're talking all positive.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate how, you know, just the what's happened to the religion, what's happening in our society to like any tone, any religious tone, it's almost frowned upon.
It's sad.
I think it's ugly.
It's sad. And I don't think it's supported by the masses. I think the majority of people, not just in Temecula, but I think the majority of people would look at that and say, oh, that's not right. I mean, they would respect, you have every right to feel the way you do. You don't need to apologize for being a certain race or religion or anything like that. Come on, that's silliness.
Right.
We need to, and it's unfortunately, it's the loudest. It's the people with the bullhorns. You know, it's the agitators. You know, going back to your point about apathy and lowering the standard, I 100% agree. I mean, you can make the case that it's really gone into every sector of almost society, right? I mean, talk about, you know, just customer service. You talking about customer service earlier, how it's so poor in training, and you talk about a lot of facets, right? I mean, how everything is a bit on the decline right now. We do need to raise the standard. I mean, but unfortunately, we have government that is solely politically agenda driven, and we're just kind of on the outskirts of things, is seeing this all kind of unfold. And you know, we can only do so much, and you know what little impact we can make. We certainly try on the local level, which is really like the epiphany that I had years ago, is that like the local level is really where the battles are at, where the battles are of you want to say democracy or freedom and liberty are fought. And especially in this state, they're no longer at the state level. It's the local levels. It's the school boards. It's the city councils. And everyone, a lot of people know this, but I don't think people realize I don't think majority of the Temecula citizens that aren't maybe plugged into the local politics, if at all, realize how important your vote is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can see things go south real quick. With as you're seeing in public education and government, we have to raise the bar. We have to raise the bar, and I feel like if we keep trending down, if we keep watering down, you want people to say, "Oh, you're watering down education." Well, you guys are taking away tests. Your kids are graduating without having, you know, tests are bad. Tests are whatever.
Yeah,
you know, fill in the blank.
Tests are racist.
Yeah, fill in the blank. You know.
Yeah.
That is such nonsense. I mean, the thought of that. Like, you're training to get your license or whatever, and you're reading a book, and you get your license, but you actually never ride in a car.
Mm-hmm.
You actually never ride in a car with someone who's testing you. It's a silly example, but I mean, go down the line. It makes no sense. But we just need to raise the bar. If I was elected, I would promote that. I mean, from day one, it's like, and I'm not afraid. People want to attack me for whatever. Hey, man, I'm a sinner. I've made tons of mistakes. There's nothing that anyone could tell me that would cut my skin, that would make me feel bad, would take me down. Hey, I have a great life. I have a great wife, a great family. My family is full of entrepreneurs, successful people. I'm fueled by my family and friends. So, hey, man.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, man, have you received any negativity at all? Like, for example, we talked about let's talk about it, right? The school board seat that's up.
Yeah.
What happened? Danny got ran out of town. You know,
they
attacked him. They attacked his business.
It's terrible.
They attacked his kid at the school. Like there was a lot of things that he dealt with that It's wrong. It's embarrassing that our community would do something like that. And then Emil came in and he talked about how he had somebody looking over his fence in the backyard. And I don't know. Have you experienced anything like that? Because it seems like you're going to take a seat. Yeah. You're willing to take a seat that is going to have the same people that, ran Danny out, probably looking to find, the skeletons in your closet. Do you think about that?
I haven't had anyone stalk my house or anything like that yet. And if people want to do that, that's fine. I don't care. But I don't know all the whole situation around Danny. I just know that it was horrible, and the fact that they did some of those things to his family and essentially, like you said, ran him out of town. We got to stop that. that needs to be, people need to know that. People need to know that there's people in town who don't like someone for their political persuasion, that they're willing to go and be hostile or into his family and business and the way he makes money for his family. That's just insane, guys. I mean, they have to be spotlighted. These are the bad people.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of what Dan, but I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, and there needs to be decorum. There needs to be respect for the seat, respect for the person. I've seen enough of the board meetings. Danny chimed in, and he supported and he had his stances on things, and he was a good supportive role player in that board. I didn't see anything wrong with him. He seemed like a nice guy. I actually never met him. Mm-hmm. He seemed like a really nice guy. Heard he had a really beautiful family. It's just very unfortunate. And anyone listening to this, like, you have to know that's just wrong. Everyone's talking about bullying and this and that. I mean, that's bullying. I mean, that's bullying.
Right.
Anyone wants to come at me or challenge me to debate, whatever, or bring it on. I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't care. I don't care enough to invest my energy into being offended or frightened or anything.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about the experience that you bring to the table. So you said and maybe there's more, but I know you said you were a football coach.
You know,
talk to me about how you think that and maybe other things that you have, in your belt of history that you think would benefit you and the district in that position.
Yeah. So the reason why I used football coach, because that was like my only really attachment to teaching. And coaching is teaching. I mean, it's just a fancy word for, I'm not fancy word, but it's just another word for teaching a sport. But it worked at a really, really elite program, public school as well. Very diverse school. We had, lots of kids that went on to, major colleges, and some even went into the NFL. And so I felt like, I was, half the time I was being taught by these kids who, it's like, man, these guys know more than I do. But I learned a lot about the mostly at the high school level. I learned a lot about how kids think and how they process information and what motivates them. And also just building that relationship of trust with these players, and there's a lot of different ways you can do that. But I love kids. I naturally just love kids. I love working with the youth. Always have. I also, before, this is years ago, I was actually raised in the LDS church, served a mission for my church for 2 years in Dallas, Texas. There's a lot of misconceptions about that as far as like what we do. Most of our mission was actually serving. Like serving in the YMCA, serving people who had maybe an autistic child or whatever, different projects that we would do and help people. That was a real life experience for me. A lot of my friends went on to college, doing beer stands and all that stuff and all that on the weekends. I was in Texas, knocking on doors, talking with people, sitting in people's living rooms that I had no relation with at all. No, nothing in common, you know, in terms of just being a human, but I just had, I had so many great experiences with people down there serving people. And that really kind of like elevated me from being this like selfish jerk, you know, coming out of my teenage years, whatever, and thinking I knew everything. It really humbled me and brought me down to my knees. You know, I have a relationship with, you know, like I said earlier, with Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. So, like, you know, like I feel like in terms of working with kids and having empathy, well, what's better than saying, hey, I've done this before. I made this mistake. Now let me teach you or share with you how, you know, what not to do, or maybe, you know, share my story. I feel like that's been great with me in terms of teaching and coaching young kids. Played football in college, went to a Division II school in Virginia on scholarship, had a great opportunity there to do a lot of service work and just be out of my element. Then I came back, worked primarily in sales, and then I got into program management, working in the healthcare, working on the business side of things. And working in healthcare, you have to have some level of empathy and understanding, compassion for people, you know, because we're essentially working with people who are going to be servicing sick people and people that possibly, you know, might be in bad shape. So I don't have a history of like working, you know, by myself alone. I've always been working with a lot of people, high energy.
I think that's important.
Yeah, high energy. I love working with people. I love collaboration. I love providing ideas and concepts and so that's, I think a lot of my history, maybe not as extensive as maybe some of the other candidates, but I think I can do better is I can sit down with the high school students, not just high school students, I can sit down with students and I can talk to them, and I think we can have a great great conversation, and I feel like I can address some of their needs. Sit down with these parents. I feel like I can talk to parents and address their needs. Mm-hmm. So that's really kind of like my.
Did you get a degree when you?
I did. Yeah.
What was it?
A business management.
You got business management.
Yeah.
Degree. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. No, you know, I think that's another important aspect that I think the community should be aware of is. If we look at the volatility of our district right now, you know, the board members that we have, they don't really play so nice with each other.
Yeah.
And then sometimes that gets put on full display. And I don't think that helps. I don't think that helps with everything else. I don't think that helps with the crowd. So for me, I think it's important to have people in positions, like you said, that already know how to work in a team. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I don't know Allison Barclay's history or Steven Schwartz's their experience, but you know, I never got the vibe that they were gonna work with the board at all. And I mean, they voted no. They haven't voted yes on anything.
It's pitiful. Sorry. I mean,
it's
a podcast, and I'll be frank with, and, you know, if you know, it is pitiful. It's pitiful that you can't find consensus on anything. Come on. We're just talking about politics, how these people are, they're just so steep mired in this politics and stuff. And it's just, you're deviating from the focus, which is the kids, students and the parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think I would like to see a board, you know, man, come November, you know, I've said this before, the only person whose seat's secure is Jen Wiersma. I mean, come November, we could have a whole new situation. But regardless of what it is, I think it's important that as a community, we all agree, like, hey, we need the board members to be able to work together.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a board member that's trying to play defense, like you said, that's always yeah. like trying to drill holes in our boat.
Yep.
We need to expose them and get yep. rid of them.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what we've had. I think that there's been we had people who were elected. They were representing the majority of the community. I think the majority of the community really does stand by what the decisions they made.
Yeah.
And we have people who are just drilling holes in the boat, man. They're just trying to sink the ship. And it's like, come yeah. on. I don't care if you don't like the captain. Like, we're yeah. all on this thing.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree to that. And I know I said that 100% agree to that. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, and you know, anyone listening to this podcast has any questions about me building bridges and all this stuff and all that. Like, I don't look. I'm definitely not going to use this. I didn't want to use that in my my interview because I think everyone said, oh, I'm going to build bridges. You know, yeah. I'm gonna build. Come on, man. Like, I naturally will build bridges. I will. You know, I don't need to like specify and all this. I can work with anybody. I've worked with people who hated me. I work with all sorts, all different kinds of people. I can put things aside, personal feelings aside, and I can naturally build bridges without saying I can build bridges with people who may not agree with me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's me. I can do that.
Yeah.
Watching the school board's meetings as of late, it's just so unfortunate they can't work together, and it's just I know why. I mean, I know Allison and Stephen, they're just yeah they have their marching orders, so
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely what it seems like. And I made a post you know, kind of something that I saw with my own eyes, dude. I was sitting in the back of the room and Allison Barclay did not like it. It was when they were talking about, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about when they were going to do the election and yeah. like they had all like kind of agreed, and then Julie Geary shaking her head no at Allison, Allison quickly like changed her mind, and you can see it. So yeah. I just went in and I was sitting in the back and I saw the eyes lock,
yeah.
head shake, and Allison quick. And I made a clip about it, and Allison reached down. She's like, I'm not in collusion with the pack. And she got very upset. And we had an exchange, and it ended respectfully. And I don't have any hard feelings towards her, but
yeah.
You know, I know for a fact, for example, Stephen Schwartz campaigns and walks for the recall.
Yeah.
He goes to those meetings
yeah.
and he's there talking to people, community members. I'm a board member.
Right.
And we need to get rid of this right wing extremist. It's yeah. like, dude, that's, like we need to get rid of you.
It's
dude.
Not fair, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. Just, what are you doing? It's this crazy. Is your peer. I expect yeah. you to work with them, not yeah. work against them. But I mean,
yeah.
It's, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that board members have joined the ranks of the polarization.
And why do we have political PACs in school boards?
Yeah,
20 years ago, you would never see. I mean, people had their opinions, and they would go to, maybe it was a funding issue or something like that. But they're not trying to introduce all these different things and trying to inject different agendas into the school board. Come on, yeah. man. Like we got to break away from all this and be the you know, the shining light on the hill, you know.
Right.
And for we live in Temecula. We live in the land of gracious living. I tell my wife this. We have a beautiful city. I mean, we have a wine country. We have a just great, we have a great local, you know, city government, you know, I feel like we're lucky. I feel like we're lucky to live here, you know, and I think the majority of people who live here feel the same way. And, you know, people say, oh, I moved here for the schools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have great schools here. We have great teachers. We have great administrators. And it can be great or even greater if we can get the right people in the right positions of leadership, mm-hmm. which is, I think is a make or break. I mean, in all things. I mean we're seeing the decline in poor leadership. You know, I don't need to go into great detail on that, but
yeah.
but you're also seeing what great leadership can do. It can turn things around, and it could, you know, you could point you right in the right direction. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Aaron. Either way, man, regardless of what happens, I'm happy to have met you. I'm happy you came to talk with us. And I hope that I want to talk to you about something offline.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you said something that really resonated with me. But I hope that regardless of what happens, you can still kind of be involved and we can stay in touch. And I don't think that, and I've said this before, I don't think we have to be an elected official to be a leader in the community.
Right.
I think that we just have to show up and make sure that we're aligned with what is real, what people actually want, what needs to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Be aligned, not necessarily what we want to happen, but what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I think whether you get elected to the position or not, I'm happy that you stepped up.
Thank you.
And it shows me that the fact that you're willing to step up and take the seat and you're willing to do what needs to be done to be a positive influence on the community. I want to stay in touch with you regardless. And,
thank you. Yeah, likewise.
Yeah, and we'll see how we can, you know.
Yeah, if I could just changes. finish one thing.
Please.
You know, a wise person told me that that truth is truth is simple to understand, and you look in the world and there's so much confusion, and it's not, that's confusion is not simple, which mm-hmm. means it can't be truth, because truth is simple. Confusion and lies, they hide in the dark, but truth is in the forefront. It's in the light. It's simple. It's simple to understand. It's simple to act. It's anyways, I just wanted to share that with you, because I just feel like truth needs to be at the center of why we do the things we do. And, you know, and I feel like we need to simplify things, bring it back down to a level where we can really see progress and success. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks great. For coming on. Yeah, I think we need more people like you standing up and,
thank you,
expressing common sense, and you actually have good ideas for how to improve the school. And like you said, just like you said about truth, I mean, yeah, it is simple, and it's the establishment and who are the powers to be, whoever's, making mass confusion. Like, the truth is there's a man and a woman. Very simple.
Yeah.
Like, there shouldn't be some big debate about whether a man can go in a woman's locker room. But for some reason, every school board meeting has to be about that.
Yeah.
Why the sixth grader can't read a book. So it's and I don't know. And people don't understand, like you're saying too real quick, is that, these are the kids that graduate and then go work at the jobs.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, you know, fly planes
exactly,
and
yeah.
do your IT and your customer
Boeing.
Service. Like, yeah, Boeing. Like, they're just pushing them through. Yeah. And it's like, people don't realize, like, hey, they can't, you know, that's a problem if you can't do math, read, or do science at your grade level.
It's a problem. It's a bad problem.
But make sure you have your pronouns at the bottom of your email.
Yeah
if you have that, you're going to get a liberal arts degree.
Exactly. Oh, jeez.
Be the HR lady, run everything.
Exactly.
So, but thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
See ya. Yeah.